Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, with an amazing offer for new customers. You bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. It's a steal. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use code KSN. Bet just $5, any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's all there is to it. Use code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. I'm Jim Galante. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. Quarter number two, we talked about the offense, midseason review. We're going to do the same for the defense this quarter. Dustin, I'm going to sum it up this way. They're pretty good, aren't they?
That's a really good way to bottom line it right now. And they're pretty good in every conceivable area, right? Run defense, pass defense, the back end of it, the way the linebackers are playing, the interior of the defensive line, the pressure that the ends are putting on, the safety play has been phenomenal. I mean, they in all kinds of facets, and I think the numbers back it up in terms of where they rank nationally, is this unit is really, really good. There is a lot of NFL caliber talent on it. They're very well coordinated. They're playing like they're hungry all the time. They're playing lights out. There's not one player or piece that you could maybe say, okay, we'll take this player out of the equation and this group's really going to struggle. Certainly, you take a Jaquan Brisker out, for example, and it's going to affect the level of play from the defense. But this has been a true team effort up and down, and it is stark contrast to the way this group looked last year.
And that's it for quarter number three. That's our review of the defense.
Bottom line.
Well, you mentioned about taking out one player and what will happen, and I'm going to ask you about taking out P.J. Mustafa, who we learned is out for this season. But before we get there, and this is something you and I have talked about, is it seems like every decision they made about the defense coming into this season was the correct one. They decided to bring in this guy named Ibukidi from Temple. Pretty good decision, right? They decide Jesse Lucada should move from linebacker to defensive end. Another pretty good decision. They moved their linebackers. They moved Brandon Smith, brought in Curtis Jacobs, all pretty good. Ellis Brooks, you're the man in the middle. Tremendous decision. In the back, we knew about Jaquan Brisker. Who was going to be that second safety? Remember, there were questions about it? Well, Jair Smith, he's been excellent, I think. And another one, they decided, here are the cornerbacks. Tariq Castro Fields, Joey Porter Jr., great decisions. And one, you know he's one of my favorite guys. They made the decision Daquan Hardy's going to be that fifth defensive back. Another excellent decision. Did these guys make any mistakes at all during the offseason?
Boy, it came up roses in all kinds of areas, and I don't think you mentioned it either, but the flip-flop with Brandon Smith allowed Curtis Jacobs to really start to make his mark on this defense, which he definitely did at Iowa last week. So, yeah, all these decisions that were made, you know, are from a coaching staff that didn't have a chance to really respond to their circumstances, you know, before the season began last year. All the uncertainty with the Big Ten schedule, Micah Parsons opting out. They didn't really have a ready-made solution to replace Micah Parsons, and that was clear all year long last year. So, yeah, I think they had the time and they had the urgency. They went back to the drawing board in all these areas. They you know, whether I think they had a little bit of a relationship with Ebiketie before, you know, he made his transfer decision, but they identified him as a huge key piece. They evaluated him well. They've developed him extremely well to help him not just acclimate to the Big Ten level, but to really thrive the way that he has. 9 tackles for loss and 4 sacks so far, which, by the way, my bold prediction defensively before the season began was that Ebiketie was going to get 8 sacks this year. He's halfway to it, halfway through, so we'll see. But they've really hit the mark in a lot of different ways. Transfer market, development, position changes, all that stuff. So I think tip of the cap to all those guys, and I think Brent Pry may be having his best year as a coordinator too.
You know, Dustin, last season and probably for a couple seasons, there were a couple issues that always seemed to crop up about this defense that just aren't there this season. One of them was the tackling was not good. I don't think there's more than a handful of missed tackles that I recall all season. And you're not getting those plays where, yes, the opposing team is always going to complete some passes, but we're not getting those 10 and 15-yard completions turned into 50-yard completions because somebody misses a tackle.
Or even on a smaller scale, you know, run plays or short pass plays that should be stopped for a 6-yard gain, they're not being turned into 9-yard gains or 10-yard gains. So often where a guy should be tackled, that spot is pretty much where he ends up being tackled. And that's been a huge change. And the only thing I can think is, you know, you always walk a fine line when you look back at 2020 and you say, you know, Penn State was affected by COVID more than most programs in the country. And the only thing I can think without being there and seeing things is that maybe Penn State adhered to certain protocols when it came to how they practiced and how they got their group together, how much contact there was, how much intermingling there was between position groups on a daily basis throughout the season. Maybe they just didn't have much of a chance because they stuck with their protocols so tightly where, you know, nobody was really there to enforce some of these other schools from you know, straying from those protocols. So, you know, I think the fact that Penn State really stuck close to the safety stuff probably hurt them in areas. And I think tackling is one area where it might have hurt them the most.
Well, I don't know if it was just I think the tackling issue has been going on for a few years. But what I'm most impressed with, and you, I think, mentioned this earlier about this might be the best defensive backfield that James Franklin has ever had, and I do believe it is, but the underrated part of it is how those guys are coming up and tackling. How often have we seen Joey Porter come up? Yeah, there's the 5 or 6 yard completion, guys tackled, it's now fourth down, because if he doesn't make that tackle immediately, it's a first down and the drive continues. Even we know that Brisker is a good tackler. Jair Brown, though, has come up and made multiple tackles like that. And so has Daquan Hardy, not the biggest guy in the world, but he's a sure tackler. To me, that is the really big difference between what we saw previously and what we're seeing this year.
Well, let me first say that Joey Porter Jr. with those go-go gadget arms can probably stand with his heels on one sideline and make a shoestring tackle on the other sideline. That's how it feels sometimes. Such length that has – it's really helped him on a few plays this year for sure in the tackling scheme of things. But, yeah, I think part of this too is, you know, I think the practice has normalized, but I also think that, you know, it's been a theme that since the end of last year, player ownership has been at one of its highest levels. It's not something you can quantify, but clearly this team has felt urgency from every veteran, every leader. The fact that all these guys who could have left and came back, your Rasheed Walkers and Jaquan Briskers and Jahan Dotsons, a real tone has been set to push themselves in the offseason, you know, harder than they ever have before. And I know that came up as a talking point earlier in the year, is that these guys, the leadership council, you know, the captains and all the other guys, asked James Franklin to be pushed harder, you know, felt like that's what they needed. And clearly you can kind of see that if that's how things ended up playing out, you can see the results of that on the field. Just so disciplined, communicating well, those breakdowns that I think people have complained about for 2 to 3 years in the passing game, they're not happening right now because these guys are really communicating hard at the line of scrimmage. And you have, you know, Ellis Brooks, and you've got guys who have played a lot of games, really communicating well when the ball is caught or they see where the ball is going. Guys are coming in waves, and that's, you know, that's coaching, but that's also hunger and urgency and a desire to be disciplined and a desire to gang tackle the way that they have. I mean, it's been a huge, remarkable difference this year, and I really don't see it slowing down. And one of the other things is, you know, as they've been tapping into some reserves, your Jonathan Sutherland has made a few plays. Tyler Rudolph made a few plays. Keaton Ellis, we've started to see. As you mentioned, Daquan Hardy coming in. Johnny Dixon came in a few weeks ago, sort of garbage time, but even before garbage time, and kind of showed that he was ready to make some plays. Charlie Catcher, when his number's called and he's in the game, he's made a couple plays. I mean, everybody whose turn has come up, they just seem to be answering the bell. And there's something more to it than just saying they're tackling better. They're doing everything at a much higher level right now.
They are, Dustin, and they've stayed relatively healthy. Adisa Isaac before the season started, of course, it'd be great to still have him. But now P.J. Mustafa is out for the rest of the season. That's a big blow to this team. What did you see from his replacements in the Iowa game, and what do you expect going forward?
Well, Devon Ellis is going to be one of the guys to watch. You know, if one player, I think they, if there's ever a time for your defensive team captain to go down, it's going into a bye week and you get a chance to really reassess things. But, you know, Keziah Izzard, Devon Ellis, Fatorma Mulba, and Derek Tangelo. I mean, that looks to be what their rotation is going to be. You'll see maybe some Amin Vanover in there. You'll see some other guys, but you know, I thought they held up well. Like, I was having some problems creating running, you know, room in the running game too. So I don't think they were the best test of that. But still, P.J. Mustafa goes down early. They're down to this limited rotation. Devon Ellis missed a couple series. I mean, the fact that they survived that game and really put the clamps on Iowa's running game, I think is encouraging that they can continue to do the same thing as they get a chance to catch their breath and figure out their rotations now.
And there's no doubt this bye came at a really good time for them. Obviously, the injury to Sean Clifford, the extra week, is welcome. And then playing an Illinois team that has struggled. I'll ask you real quick, the early spread, I believe, was 23 points. Quick prediction for the game, Dustin.
I mean, if I have to predict that, I'm saying Taquan Roberson, even with him in there, they're going to cover that point spread. This Illinois team is very, very bad, and they're not getting much better as the year goes on. They're struggling in a lot of ways that Penn State can capitalize on. I think Roberson has a good game plan and plays well if he has to.
And I think after a bye week, after the loss to Iowa, this team will come in ready to play. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around quarter number four. We're going to do a quick look at recruiting. Stay tuned.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.